Christian has been positioned as a preservative to help stop the corruption and moral decay in their corner of the world. Did you hear what I'm saying?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Soon after beginning his public ministry, Jesus gathered his followers to a mountainside and used two metaphors, salt and light, to describe the characteristics that would define those who would carry out his mission in this world. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will take a fresh look at the meaning behind those two metaphors, which describe the kind of persons we must be in order to be used by the Holy Spirit to make an impact for Christ in this world of darkness. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and listen as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Recovering Our Mission for Christ. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A seminary professor decided to give his students some practice in preaching. And so he decided he would do something impromptu. He called one of the students up in front of the class and asked him to give a sermon. Of course, the guy, he was not too thrilled about being called so suddenly. So the guy resisted. But finally, he was willing to come forward to give this impromptu message. And so he stood before the class. And he said to the class, he said, those of you who know what I'm about to say, please raise your hands. Of course, nobody raised their hand. And he looked back at them. He said, okay, none of you know what I'm about to say. Neither do I. And he went and sat down. So the next week, the professor figured the guy couldn't pull the same trick again. So the professor pulled him up again for another impromptu message. And once again, he asked the class, those of you who know what I'm going to say, would you please raise your hand? Of course, they'd heard that trick before. So this time, everybody raised their hand. The young man looked at the class. He said, well, since all of you know what I'm going to say, there's no need for me to say anything. So he went and sat down again. So the next week, the professor realized that he had him boxed in. There was no way he could pull those same tricks again. So he called him up for another impromptu message. And this time, the young man, he got up and he asked the same question. Those of you who know what I'm going to say, please raise your hand. Well, this time, they were a little bit puzzled. So half of the class raised their hand. Half of the class did not. The young man, he looked at them and he said, okay, those of you who know what I'm going to say, please tell those who don't know. That's really what we're about. Those of us who know the message of Christ, God wants us to share with those who don't know. And this morning I want, as I bring to an end this mini-series we're doing on the case for Christ, I want to share with you a message this morning that I'm entitling, Recovering Our Mission for Christ. Recovering Our Mission for Christ. First, I want to talk to you, and if you have your notes, you can follow along. First, I want to talk to you about the nature of the mission. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus was delivering what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And shortly after he started the Sermon on the Mount, he laid out an incredibly challenging mission for his disciples. Turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're just going to read from verses 13 to 16 in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And if you get there, say amen. Verse 13 reads, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before the men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why did Jesus use the metaphors salt and light? Number one, salt preserves. Salt preserves. Salt preserves. Amen? Today we use salt primarily to add flavor, but in Jesus' day, salt was used primarily to preserve meat. Now, some countries still do. I'll never forget the first time we arrived in Portugal, and Cheryl and I, we went into a supermarket, and there piled up to my waist were slabs about 40 or 50 feet, square feet, of salted codfish. Now, of course, in Jamaica, some of us know about salted codfish, but, you know, we get little tiny packets. There were these incredible slabs of salted codfish all the way up to my waist. It was hard to believe that these slabs of stuff, unrefrigerated, just in the open, it was hard to believe that this was edible fish. But it was preserved. It was preserved by salt. And to eat this fish, all you would do, you take a piece, and I'm pretending like I know anything about cooking, but you take a piece of this salted cod, and you soak it in water, and while you're soaking it in water, it is removing the salt, but the fish also rehydrates. Am I right about that? Salt preserves. And every Christian, get this now, come with me, every Christian has been positioned as a preservative to help stop the corruption and moral decay in their corner of the world. Did you hear what I'm saying? Young man, young lady, older person, God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has placed you as salt. And part of your responsibility is to preserve, is to stop the moral decay in your corner. Salt preserves, but light provides guidance. I came off the train recently, and a blind man was coming off right in front of me, and he asked the conductor where to find the stairs, which way he should turn. And when I heard him ask that question, I decided I'd just stay close to him. And he had his cane, but when he needed to turn to get to the stairs at Glenside, he needed to make a turn, he was going straight. So I had to call his attention and turn him towards where the stairs was. You see, I was able to help him because those of us who are in the light can provide guidance. Amen? Are you providing guidance? You see, we are salt, we are preservers, we are preservatives, but we are light. We are the light of the world. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We are to guide a world in darkness to Jesus Christ, the true light. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We don't have to generate the light. All we've got to do is what? Reflect the light. You know, it's like the sun and the moon. When I was a little boy, I thought the moon had a lot of light. Because, of course, when you go outside on a bright moonlight night, boy, you can walk the beach in the moonlight. And oh my goodness, when you're in love, oh, you can just walk in the moonlight. Oh, how wonderful it is just to walk in the moonlight. Am I right about it? Oh, some of you too old, you don't even remember those days. But then as I got older, I got to find out that the moon had no light. All it was doing was reflecting the light from the sun. And that's what God wants us to do. We don't have to generate our own light. All we have got to do is to reflect the light of Christ. We are the light of the world. We are to provide guidance. Are you providing guidance? So let's pause before I move on. Because I want it to sink in deep. I want to make sure that everybody gets it. I want us to realize that God has a much bigger purpose for you than to get a good education, a good job, a good spouse, 2.5 children, and living the American dream. Praise God, I got 3, not just 2.5. But God has a bigger plan. Are you getting it? Young man, are you getting it? God has a big plan for you. He has a big purpose for you. He has a big mission for you. Young lady, it's a big mission. Salt and light. So what is the status of the mission? If the nature of the mission is that God has positioned you as salt and light, He has positioned me as salt and light. If that's the nature, what is the status of the mission? How are we doing?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Let me share 3 statistics that describe the condition of our society. Number 1, God made only 2 genders, and they are? I'm glad you know. But did you realize that in 2014, ABC News identified, shout out an answer. Did you realize that in 2014, ABC identified 78 genders? Did you realize that since then, listen good. Did you realize that since then, Tom Beer identified 112 genders? Something is wrong. I still believe God knew what He was doing. How about you? Do you realize that 110 million Americans now have a sexually transmitted disease? Did you realize that a few years ago, the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, said that 48% of black women have genital herpes? Did you know that? And I'm here to say to you that God's commands are designed to protect us. I want some of you young people to get it. Because there's a mindset that, you know, the word commands, whenever we hear about the commands of God, we all get our back up. I don't want to be under any command. Young man, listen to me good. Because God's commands are designed to protect us. They're not designed to harm you. They're designed to protect you. So when God says to keep yourself pure, listen, if you had just obeyed, if our society had obeyed that command, half of our people would not have had these sexually transmitted diseases. If you were to stop and think about it, every command is designed to protect you. You shall not kill. Can you imagine how crazy it would be if everybody decided to kill whoever they wanted to? Don't steal. Lord have mercy, if that wasn't in the book. Everybody holding on to their pocket all day long. Don't bear false witness. Can you imagine if everybody told a lie on you? I hope you realize that God's commands are designed to protect you. You and I need to change our mindset about the commands of God. The commands of God are not negative. They are positive. And in your mind, in my mind, I've got to change and embrace them as a gift. These are a gift from God. Some of us want to go our way, do your thing. You can. I said it yesterday, men's breakfast. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had no rules, no laws, no speed rules, no traffic rules? We all wouldn't even get through the gate, you know. We couldn't get out because if these brothers decide to be coming this way, we are trying to go that way. They're blocking the exit. And do you understand what I'm saying? You could walk on the sidewalk because here comes this crazy man. Rules are designed to benefit us. But number three, I said I was going to share three statistics, so let me not get off of my subject. Do you realize that 79% of millennials, there are varying definitions of a millennial, but generally those born between 1980 and 1995, do you realize that the new statistics tell us that 79% of millennials do not attend church? Now, here's what bothers me. That statistic for their parents, 51% of their parents did not attend church. In one generation, there was a drop of more than 30%. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? In one generation, the drop was over 30%. Now, we can't blame the millennials fully because, you know, part of the problem is some of us parents who decided, I'm going to give you a choice. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to go to church or you don't want to go to church? So what do you think the kid said? No. And he said, okay, honey, just stay home. I'll fix it when I get back. Are you crazy? And some of you young people, some of my young couples, I want to make sure you don't fall into the trap. No. As long as you live under my roof. Hallelujah. Somebody. As long as you live under my roof. This is how we live here. Amen. I'm off on the tangent, so I may as well stay off for a minute. Because sometimes we don't realize. I remember I was one mischievous little guy, you know, even after God saved me, I wasn't sanctified. I was saved. Amen. Do you think I really liked going to church? Until I was about 16, I did not want to go to church, but I had to go, so I didn't fight it. I had to go. But do you know what I've come to realize, young person? Listen to me good. I came to realize, parent, listen to me good. Right now, I can preach to you. A lot of what I'm preaching was what I heard before I was 16 that I didn't want to go. The word of God was having an impact on me, whether I wanted to have it or not. I was hearing. And so I encourage you, folks, bring your kids to church. Don't send them. Bring them. Amen. The word of God will find its way. And listen, what goes through their ear gate. We do not have the ability to take something out of our memory bank. So bring them. So let's get back to what we're talking about. So what do you think? How do you think we're doing? Based on those things, do you think we're doing good? If we're the preservative, and if we're the ones that are to be guiding people to Christ, are we doing a good job? Let me give you one thing to ponder before I move on. If God answered, listen good. If God answered yes to every prayer you prayed last week, would there be anybody new in his kingdom? And let me ask you the question. If God answered yes to every prayer you prayed last week, would there be anybody new in his kingdom? You know, the tragedy is for many of us who are the light, the answer is no. For many who are supposed to be the light, the ones bringing people to Christ, showing the way, the answer is no. Because sadly, many of us, the priority of seeing someone get saved, that's just not our priority. And God wants to remind us what this message, why he has given us this message this morning, is to remind us about our mission. Christians, sometimes we get together, we all participate in these things. We get in our little huddles and we complain how bad the world is getting. You ever heard us do that? We complain how bad things are. But let me ask you this morning. Could part of the problem be the man in the mirror? Could part of the problem be the woman in the mirror? Could part of the problem in the world be us? Because my brothers and sisters, if you and I are supposed to be the salt, the preservative, if you and I are supposed to be the light, if the world is really going downhill, could it be that the salt has lost its savor? So Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. And so my question is, if the salt loses its savor, is there any hope? Well, I actually believe there is. You know, I read a number of Bible commentaries on this, and no one seems to offer any hope, but I believe that there is hope. And I'm going to explain what I believe Jesus, the context of what Jesus, the statement that Jesus made. You know, in 1857, a huge revival broke out in New York City, and it started with one man. The country was in trouble. The church was in trouble. The church was in disarray. And one man sitting in the pew, not a minister, a man by the name of Jeremy Lamphere, he decided to start a prayer meeting. And this little prayer meeting in New York City, after a few months, 10,000 people were gathering every single day in New York in one meeting place to pray. And it spread across the country. It went to Chicago. Thousands were praying in Chicago. All across America, something broke out. Some people called it the Great Prayer Revival. Others called it the Third Great Awakening. Whatever you want to call it, the impact of it is still being felt today. One man decided, God, I am willing for you to use me. And that's what God is calling somebody here. You know, not everybody might respond this morning. It could be that God is going to speak to you. You might be the only one who is taking this message seriously and saying, God, if I am the salt, if I am the light, God, I want you to use me in a more purposeful, more productive way. And God can do something unbelievable through you if you say, God, I'm available to you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.